The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
There's a ton of news, bad news, dark, disheartening news, and so I was waiting for some good news to cross my desk before kicking off the broadcast, and here it is, tweeted by political prisoner, Bolivian ex-president, Jeanine Añez Chávez. The Peruvian Attorney General, I'm translating her tweet from Spanish in this report by Politico, has opened an investigation against the Bolivian ex-president Evo Morales for being complicit with ex-president Pedro Castillo in criminal offenses against Peruvian national security. More on that story and many others and some phenomenal rock and roll and Bible teaching here on Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I'm your host, Samuel Honnold, broadcasting from exile in cartel country in the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. If last week our rock and roll was not hard enough for you, we kind of did an acoustic evening. Tonight it will be. We are going to kick it off with Alice in Chains. A song about asking God to preserve one's life in a hopeless situation on the battlefield as one's gunning down the enemy. Here it is, Can't Stop the Rooster.
Yeah, they come to snuff the rooster.
as he is, so are we in this world. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your Gospel Gunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I want you to push aside for a moment all thoughts of the by and by, all thoughts of the afterlife, even of everlasting life with the Lord, all thoughts of the millennium, and all thoughts of an escape rapture, God forbid. Please, just push it aside for a moment and see this promise in the Word. As He is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world, not in the afterlife. Not in the by and by, not in the rapture, not after going up and down and back and forth and returning with the Lord and 10,000 of His saints, in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Else we would never overcome when we're outnumbered hundreds to one and thousands to one. Amongst our own numbers, there are 99 cowards and one warrior, maybe one, that will even follow the Lord's deliverer, that will even follow the Lord's judge, if the Lord God Almighty were to grace us and establish our judges as at the first. The Word of God promises us this. But nevertheless, there's maybe one person out of 100 whose heart has not waxed gross, waxed faint, whose heart has not been overcharged with surfeiting, that is overeating and easy living, and is ready to even follow that deliverer should that deliverer arise. Let's read the whole verse. 4:17, 1 John. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have... Okay, so we talk a lot about love. This is the perfection of love, that we may have boldness in the day of what? Of judgment. All right, let's read it all. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And it goes on. We're going to have a recurring theme between 1 John 4 and Isaiah 58 this week. So let's just jump over to Isaiah 58. Because even this about the day of judgment, people push it off into the by and by. They're like, oh, when we're before the great white throne, when in the last day, that's the day of judgment in their mind. But let's look at Isaiah 58, 6. To loose the bands of wickedness, the Lord says, this is the fast that I've chosen, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke, that you break every yoke, that you pursue freedom for you and your family and your nation. It's right here in Isaiah 58, 6. Now who among you is not a coward and will lift even one finger to do this? We're continuing in Isaiah 58 with the Lord's ordinances of justice, His law about executing justice and the promises that are commensurate with that. Do you want the glory of the Lord to be your rearward, for Him to guard you behind, for Him to guard your escape and your homeland? Because this is what everybody's afraid of, that if they take the first stroke, if they lift up their hand at all, if they take up the sword at all, then they can never go home and they can never live life because the enemy will sneak up on them in force. Well, let's look at what David did and how the Lord was his rear guard, but that it all happened because David, even in his weakness, even when he was a fugitive fleeing and fighting for his life, that he executed the Lord's justice, the Lord's commands of justice. So let's look at what David did to inherit these later written promises of Isaiah 58. And do you want to talk about a dark time? This was a dark time. 85 priests of the Lord who wore a linen ephod were cut down by Doeg the Edomite, and their entire city was destroyed. Their wives and their children and their cattle was all demolished. It's right here in 1 Samuel 22. And here at the end of it, Abiathar the priest, who himself was later a turncoat, he comes to David and says in 22:21, Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. You think Pastor Sam has to bring you bad news? Imagine that. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of my father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. So here, people come to David and say, help us, we're being repressed by the Lord's enemies, the uncircumcised have come and stole all our stuff. Imagine how weak they were. David's men said unto him, verse 3, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come into Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Verse 2, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Well, David did attack, and then he inherited the promises of your verse of the day, Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? David went and did that when he saved Keilah, and that is how he inherited the Lord's rear guard when he was in the wilderness and Saul pursued him. Wanted this, I gave her that. This when I started moving in for the kill, cause I got bullets. This is another way of saying, I didn't draw first blood. This is what they wanted. They started it. She wanted this. I gave her that. When your nation arrested over 1,000 innocent people and kept them in a gulag and kept them without food, water, or sanitary facilities, sanitary napkins for ladies, elderly people and children included, and then they were hauled off to a prison and forcibly injected with the COVID-19 extermination shot? She wanted this. All right. First blood has been drawn. Now, let's talk about Rambo. If you want to grow a pair, just roll back to 1985 and watch Rambo First Blood Part 2. And here Rambo is sold out by his own military. Ah, sound familiar? Yeah, he's sold out by his own military and he's captured by, of course, in those days, the bad guys, from our perspective as Americans, were the Russians. Really not Russians, the Soviets. And here are the Soviets. And they are gonna torture Rambo to death. But first they want to humiliate him. So they force him to make a radio call, or they're trying to torture him to get him to make a radio call. But what they don't know is that Rambo's girlfriend has dressed as a prostitute and snuck into the gorilla compound and has an Ingram submachine gun that she's going to light up the night.
This incident, your capture is embarrassing. We must have explanation. First of all, I wish you to radio your headquarters and say that you have been captured and condemned for espionage activities, and that no such criminal aggression should be attempted in the future, or they will meet with the same fate as yours.
Fuck you.
You wish to test your strength. Good. Good. Lucian.
So just when it's hopeless, one helper comes out. And the reason that this beautiful French-Vietnamese woman was leading the resistance and meeting Rambo and being his contact was because her father led the resistance and he was killed. And she, an unlikely successor, took over for her father. So here she is, dressed in a red silk dress, rides a moped into the gorilla compound, all the bamboo huts and thatch huts and barbed wire, where Rambo is being tortured.
And these are the people you protect with your pain. Zariski Zvolic. You may scream. There is no shame.
The lesson of Rambo is to hope when there is no hope, when the situation is totally hopeless. Here's Rambo captured alone, being electrocuted to death. All the bare light bulbs in this jungle compound are dimming as he's being electrocuted. And then it's about to get worse as the enemy colonel will read him the transcript of his own nation, of the CIA selling him out, just like happened to Brazil.
Comrade, here is something that might be of interest to you. A transcript of the conversation between your helicopter pilot and his commander. We intercepted Dragonfly Wolf 10. Colorful names. Here we are. We have them in sight. And the reply, abort the operation immediately. This is a recall.
Confirmed. Over.
It seems you were abandoned on direct command. Make the radio call.
They shock Rambo, they burn him, he still won't make the radio call. Which this is just like the propaganda videos of today where captured soldiers confess to committing war crimes. I hate to make fun of the Russians, because really it's the Ukraine backed by the USA that's doing this today, that's really committing the war crimes, that's making captured soldiers record propaganda videos. Well, they try to do this to Rambo, he won't do it. Then his captors threaten not Rambo, but one of the emaciated POWs, and they hold a red-hot knife up to his eyeball, and they're right there ready to put out his eye, and Rambo nods that he will make the call. So he's going to confess to war crimes falsely after all this torture and threat. And he cues up the radio set. Lone Wolf, the Wolf Den. Authenticate. There's still no hope of him getting out of this.
Two-two-oh-five-six. Lone Wolf, receive. This is Lone Wolf. 2-2-0-5-6.
Lone Wolf, this is Wolf Den. Transmit location and status. Over.
What is it, Wolf?
It's Rambo, sir.
Receive. Over.
We read you, Lone Wolf. What is your position? Over.
I say again, what is your position?
Your friend dies if you do not answer.
Right there, Rambo sees his girlfriend underneath the floor slats of the thatch hut. He still has to fight these guys, including this giant special forces operator. But now he's got a little bit of backup because his girlfriend's down there with that submachine gun. So he makes the call, but not betraying his country, threatening the CIA deep state that he's going to break out and he's coming to get him.
Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
So Rambo makes his escape. By the time the searchlights come on, he's killed an enemy soldier, he's got a gun, he's blasting his way out. And that's what the deliverance of God looks like. Well, one way it looks. We are more likely in our day to see the heavens open, to see every man's sword against his brother, to see the Lord hurl down mighty stones from heaven and fire to fall from heaven and run along the ground as it did in the Exodus and in the conquest of Joshua. I'll tell you what, someday when I'm out of pocket or on the road, I'm going to play for you my telling of my escape, my miraculous escape from the $10 million police helicopter with forward-looking infrared. Yeah, they came after me with that thing, and the Lord helped me. It'll be on a later show. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to devote an entire episode to the escape from that helicopter that they sent after me. Do you think that the Lord is not able to burn the chariot in the fire, according to Psalm 46? Do you think that he is not able to blind the armies of the heathen, as Elisha did? Do you think that they will not follow the prophet into captivity for their destruction? Do you think that those that are with us are not greater than those that are with them? Oh yes, the Lord can smite the seeing eye and make them blind. He can work by his armies and work madness in the wicked. I'm going to read you this from Psalm 46. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Oh, you have not seen a moonscape, you have not seen a battle zone that has been turned into burnt mud until you've seen the desolation that the Lord makes in the earth. Verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. See, when people come after us with their war machines, the Lord will destroy them all by prophecy and by his armies. He breaketh the bow. These are the weapons of the enemy. And it doesn't matter how new or how modern, the Lord can smash it. And cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yes, little flock, this is our God. This is his capability to cause desolation in the earth. This is his ability to crush the armies of the heathen and all of their toys, all of their infrared, all of their drones, all of their satellites. It matters not at all. They are fighting against the living God. Lift up your hands and praise him. Worship him in the sanctuary. Worship him like Paul and Silas did as they were in the dungeon, in the inner ward, with their feet in the stocks. and then the angel of the Lord came to save them. He will do that for you, children of God. Only believe.
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
You're listening to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers on WBCQ 7.490 and WRMI 9955.
Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee, says the Lord.
We're going back to 1 John to discuss that aspect of cowardice and how it must be dominated and how we have to take captive our own fears. And there's a formula to do it, because cowardice is a disgusting thing in the eyes of God. But before we go to the soldier's formula for dealing with fear, let's talk about the ladies who are often the first to fear. They have this command from the apostle. This is 1 Peter 3 and 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. I just love the lady assassins, not only in the Bible, but in modern times. You know, in World War II, there were a number of lady assassins who were in occupied Europe, and they took out their worst enemy. You know who it was? Not even the Germans. The collaborators. The people within their own nation that sold out their countrymen to be killed, to be arrested, to be dragged off to the gulag. And these ladies, so young, some in their teens, and many of them Jewesses, shot down the collaborators by night and by day, in the parks, in the street, where they felt safe, in their own home cities. They killed them. Freddie Overstegen joined the Dutch resistance at 14 years of age, and by the age of 16, she was killing Nazis and Dutch collaborators with her own hands. She, along with her elder sister, Truss, did this work and then lived to a ripe old age, married, had children, had families, did artwork, and recently died, one in 2018 and I believe the other in 2020. Their friend and camarada in arms, Hanny Shaft, killed many collaborators. She was known for her flaming red hair, and eventually, because she was easily identifiable, was arrested and executed by firing squad after she had done much service to her nation. And I believe that she received the honorific Righteous Among the Nations by the State of Israel posthumously. So there's the girl version of cowboying up. What does the Bible say for the soldier? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There you go. If you're afraid, if you're terribly afraid even of death, then you're not even in the kingdom. You have to put fear down in the name of Jesus, and perfect love, the perfect love of the kingdom of God, the fact that you know your sacrifices for your nation, your children, and your future will push fear aside so that you can do what you have to.
Trucking. Got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on, on, on. Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings. Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. And just won't let you be. You meet on the street, speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone. Chugging like the dude of man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me, what a long, strange trip it's been. Sweet Jane, she lost her sparkle, you know she isn't the same. Living on Reds, vitamin C and cocaine. All a friend can say is ain't it a shame. Trucking up the Buffalo, been thinking you got to mellow slow. It takes time to pick a place to go. Just keep trucking on, on, on. Staring out of the hotel window. Got a tip, they're gonna kick the door in again. I'd like to get some sleep before I travel, but if you got a warrant, I guess you're gonna come in. Busted down on Bourbon Street. Sit up like a bowling pin. Knocked down, it gets to wearing thin. It just won't let you be. Like hanging around and you like to travel. Get tired of traveling, you want to settle down. I guess I can't revoke your soul for trying. Get out of the door, light out and look all around. Sometimes to me. What a long, strange trip it's been. I'm going home. Whoa, whoa, baby, back where I belong. Back home, sit down and patch my bones and get back trucking. I'm on, I'm on.
Truckin' by the Grateful Dead. Isn't it appropriate? A song about being harried and harassed by the police. Just like Dawkins said, another night on the run. This is the life of the fugitive. This is the life that David lived, and this is the life of the patriot. Do not be amazed, says the Apostle James, at the fiery trial which is to test your faith. Sitting and staring out of the hotel window. Yeah, he says, Garcia says, in conspiracy theory, Mel Gibson's character says, Jerry Garcia is British intelligence. He's got a 00 rating, just like James Bond. That's all in fiction, but it's what they said. So Jerry Garcia continues, got a tip they're going to kick the door in again. I'd like to get some sleep before I travel. But if you got a warrant, I guess you're going to come in. And we're going to talk about the warrants that were issued for Torres, the head of security, returned to Brazil under police guard from Florida. We're going to talk about the setup in the Três Poderes destruction, the riot of Três Poderes, and the Grateful Dead continue. Busted down a Bourbon Street, set up like a bowling pin. Yeah, they were set up like a bowling pin. It was a setup. They didn't even do what they were being accused of doing. So these other rebels have sang about what's going on right today. So I wanted to play it for you. Now, let's talk about Três Poderes. All right, let's see here. Merco Press reports that the STF, Supremo Tribunal Federal, had also issued a search warrant for Torres' home, where a draft decree was found mandating the intervention of the Superior Electoral Court, the TSE, and amending the outcome of the October 30 runoff. Okay, so this was found in the computer, I guess, in the home of the security chief, a draft decree, which would have been signed, of course, by President Jair Bolsonaro, authorizing the military to intervene and overturn the original decision of the original election, the October 30 election. Should have never even gone to a runoff because there were cheats in both elections. And I'm going to read to you a lengthy portion from two different Gateway Pundit articles that break down how deep the conspiracy was. And listen, I know if you're in Brazil, you're heartbroken that Jair Bolsonaro did not stand up and that the military has now taken action against some people of Brazil. Listen, it was all a setup and there are turncoats involved. How do you think David felt when Abiathar the priest, who was with him when he fled from Saul, who made it through the destruction and the slaying of the 85 priests of the Lord by Doeg the Edomite, how do you think David felt when Abiathar the priest was taken away with the final coup attempt that Abiathar the priest stabbed him in the back? You know, Solomon would have put him to death, but Solomon said, because thou wast afflicted, because you suffered with David in all of his sufferings, all of his wanderings, and because you wore the holy garment of the priest, the ephod of the Lord, because of that, I'll not put you to death, because you're worthy to die. And he sent him back to his home, back to his home city. Abiathar the priest lived out his final days in the city of his nativity and not in Jerusalem. So there are turncoats like that at the highest levels in the Brazilian government and in the U.S. government. I'm going to read to you how much pressure was put on different aspects of the Brazilian government and how many threats Jair Bolsonaro received from the United States government. This article is by Richard Abelson for the Gateway Pundit, and the title is Cry for Help from Brazilian Concentration Camp. Just shoot us and take us out of our misery. Subtitle, 1,159 political prisoners have been taken to federal prison in Brasilia for terrorism. This shocking open letter reaches us from a Brazilian patriot describing the evil setup on Sunday and horrendous conditions in Lula's concentration camp. The letters begin with the 70 days of peaceful protests and then move up on Sunday, January 8th. People started to arrive from all over Brazil. By Sunday, we had more than 8 million people protesting in Brasilia. We wanted to march to the federal district in Planalto, as we always did, in peace. Much to our surprise, hundreds of strangers showed up and joined us wearing Brazil jerseys like we do. They started screaming and smashing their way into the federal buildings with sticks and weapons, breaking everything. We started screaming for them not to commit vandalism, but they didn't listen. To our surprise, some of these people were already inside the restricted areas and government buildings. How did they get in? Even police officers were breaking things. We filmed it all. We have proof. So we ran back to the military headquarters. But as the trap was expertly prepared, the corrupt left-wing press, who never reported about us or the persecution we experienced at the hands of the Supreme Court and this illegitimate government, started showing images of these communist infiltrators breaking everything. That was the plan, to be able to arrest us and call us terrorists. They are the real terrorists who destroyed, set fire, and vandalized everything. We weren't just betrayed by the left, because we already knew that. The biggest betrayal was by the armed forces, because they lived with all of us and know us and what we are like. At night, we saw the army surround the base of protesters, that is. We thought they would protect us from arrest. Some of the generals said they were going to a meeting and left. We tried to sleep. At 7 a.m. on January the 9th, the base commander spoke to us with a megaphone and said, "You have 1 hour to dismantle the camp and vacate the area. Buses are waiting for you. Go in peace." We started to leave, sadly but orderly. When we got to the buses, we saw that they were not our buses, but we were forced to get on board. That's when we became prisoners. Then our torture began. They drove around the city for almost 3 hours, showing us off as trophies, just like a communist dictatorship. Almost everyone had to stand because there wasn't room. We let the elderly and wheelchair users sit and stayed standing. We asked them to stop the bus because people had to go to the bathroom, but they didn't respond. So people had to go to the bathroom right there. Just like, my commentary continues here, just like the railroad cars in Nazi Germany, when people were packed in like cattle and stayed in those railroad cars for days in inhumane conditions, defecating and urinating on themselves, people passing out and even dying there in the cars. This is happening right now in Brazil. And so I'm a little sad that the original resistance did not realize, you did not realize that the deck was stacked against you, that they were coming to get you all, that you would be prisoners and put in the gulag, and that you needed to fight. So this is where I have to stop and admit that Alex Jones was right. Not only that the break-in of the Três Poderes complex was totally a setup, set up like a bowling pin, just like the Grateful Dead sing. That's what Alex said, and he was right, and I was wrong. But something more. Alex was right that the Brazilian people had not yet discovered that they have to fight. That there is no other way out. There is no peaceable solution. There is no ballot box. There is no voting booth. There is no public protest. There is no redress of grievances that will be granted. There is only the knuckle sandwich. There is only the tooth and nail, bitter fight for your life. And just like the Grateful Dead say, cards aren't worth a damn if you don't lay them down. Well, people of Brazil, have you figured it out yet that they drew first blood? Have you figured it out? Now what are you going to do? Your cards aren't worth a damn if you don't lay them down. Now, quoting from another Gateway Pundit article from Sunday, this is Brazil has gone full gulag. Here, commentator and Project Veritas journalist Matthew Tiermond is quoted as saying, what happened on January 8th was a, quote, template learned from January 6th, that is in Washington. Coax them in, show that your agents provocateurs are destroying everything, and then arrest all the patriots and send a message to the rest of the country. They created a gulag at the Federal Police Academy and rounded up 1,700 people, old women and men, young kids, every race, Brazilian patriots through and through. We have video of them getting into arguments with the agents provocateurs during the riot, saying, don't break this window, this is our house. They were trying to protest peacefully as they had done 72 days previously, because these are peaceful, patriotic warriors. They got cornered and gulagged, and at least one woman died of dehydration. Unconfirmed reports say that 4 to 5 people have died. Tierman's quote here ends. The Lula regime has gone hog wild on the censorship, Tierman said. Joe Verne Pan News has been kicked off the air, the Brazilian equivalent of Fox News. Paulo Figueiredo Filho and all of the right-wing journalists have been deplatformed. The extradition notices are being drawn up for the journalists and pastors and activists who have residence in the U.S. They're putting out red notices reiterating the call to extradite leading journalist Alan Dos Santos. Does anyone still question why the gospel gunslingers broadcast from the cartel country of Mexico? This is why. Because Andres Manuel is the protector of all the refugiados and all of the political dissidents of the world, including myself. The Gateway Pundit continues, Jair Bolsonaro, who remained silent for 2 months of protests, is nonetheless being charged for sowing distrust in the election system, for asking for auditable paper ballots, Tierman said. Everybody is going to jail. They used a Hitler Reichstag fire to cement power, Tierman said. Must I reiterate, Alex Jones was right. A couple more quotes. Lula da Silva is just a figurehead, Tierman noted. The real power lies with Chief Justice Alexandre de Moraes. They are going full gulag. It is absolutely gross. Even Glenn Greenwald, who helped build this, cheerleading the fight for Lula against Bolsonaro, now he's giving a press conference because now they're trying to censor him. Moraes should be in The Hague because people are dying in the makeshift gulag and the prisons, and everybody who was put in federal penitentiary was force-vaxxed. If this is not a violation of the Geneva Convention, it is worthless. Where is Human Rights Watch? Where is Amnesty International? Where is the United Nations Charter for Indigenous Rights, given that Chief Cerere Zavante is still in prison because he's a brave soul with faith, and he is not signing the denunciation letter that they have been torturing him to get him to sign. See, the chief is just like Rambo, being tortured so that he will sell out and confess fabricated crimes and thus grant credulity to this incredible government and grant legitimacy to a totally illegitimate and uncivilized illegal regime. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Oh, do praise the Lord in this hour. Prisoners of God, do praise him in this hour. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. They believe like Rambo that the God is going to get them out of this pickle. And as we get to our GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Psalm 63, 6 through 9, I want you to consider that the Lord is going to move. He is going to act. But don't you think that you don't have to lift a finger? Don't you think that you don't have to run out when the doors open of their own accord? Don't you think that you don't have to shed blood? Don't think that you can withhold your sword from blood. Another place the word said, cursed be he that withholdeth his sword from blood. And whether you are old, whether you're a child, like those young Jewesses of the Netherlands that fought for their nation, whether you are a lady, whether you're elderly, don't think that you won't have to do your part to fight tooth and nail for your own life. Let's read our verse of the day. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Okay, as you're in the gulag, meditate on the Lord in those night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. This is the error of the January 6th protesters. They took their relationship with God for granted. They were not people of the word. They were not people of prayer. And they somehow thought that they could rage in there and everything would be okay. No, the enemy's plot worked against them because they were not in the secret place under the shadow of the Lord's wings, despite the fact that some of them have Psalm 91 tattooed on their skin. Verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, verse 9, this is you. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. And the Spanish says, chacales. The chacales are going to devour those who seek your life to destroy it. So, press in right now. Worship the Lord. Lift up your hands and praise Him while you yet live. And let us see if God works a deliverance. If He scatters the enemy. If they have come at you one way, let's see if God will strike them and they flee seven ways. And in that day, you will be able to exact retribution upon them and escape with your life. A few more news items from around Latin America on the arrest of Ovidio Guzman. Isn't it funny that his name is almost exactly Ovidio, forgetfulness? And this crime syndicate will indeed, I believe, be forgotten after the crushing of their new kingpin. 29 people were killed, 19 sicarios and 10 Mexican army soldiers. It was a combined operation between the Mexican Army, Air Force, and National Guard. No civilians were killed, although a further 35 Mexican soldiers suffered gunshot wounds and are in treatment. But let's look at what the Guzmans were doing. Reading from CNN World, they began investing large amounts of the cash into the purchasing of marijuana in Mexico and cocaine in Colombia. They also began purchasing large amounts of ephedrine from Argentina. Ah, the communist regime in Argentina was supplying drug precursors to the Mexican cartels. Continues. From Argentina and arranged for the smuggling of the product into Mexico as they began to experiment with methamphetamine productions, the State Department said. News from the USA reported by Merco Press, but also affecting all the Americas in the world, the American Farm Bureau Federation and John Deere & Company signed a Memorandum of Understanding Sunday, putting an end to a long litigation. So, see, John Deere was going to not allow people to fix their own tractors. And they finally signed this Memorandum of Understanding that independent repair shops can fix the tractors and use aftermarket parts, but they cannot modify it or disclose trade secrets or adjust the power levels. This is the prison planet. And before there were self-driving cars, there were self-driving tractors. And I just want the world to know that the big companies did not make these innovations. Farmers made these innovations, which is why we have power sports in farm country today. Tractor pulls and truck pulls and mud races and monster trucks. It came from the bottom up, not from the top down. They got it all backwards. Individual freeholders built these nations. I wish I could read more from the Gateway Pundit about how the State Department, Lloyd Austin, and the U.S. military and the U.S. diplomats all in turn threatened Jair Bolsonaro. We're out of time, and we're going to go out with a little bit of Working Man's Dead, a story about something supernatural, preternatural, prehistoric, and horrible that came to deal with the evildoer, like the Chacal of Psalm 63. And for those of you out there who would like to hail me on the radio, my call sign is not Lone Wolf, it's Dire Wolf. Good night!
Up in Nario, the wolves are running round. The winter was so hot and cold, froze 10 feet beneath the ground. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. I sat down to my supper, was a bottle of red whiskey. I said my prayers and went to bed. That's the last they saw of me. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. When I awoke, the diable, 600 pounds of sin, was grinning at my window. All I said was, come on in. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. The wolf came in, I got my cards, we sat down for a game. I cut my deck to the queen of spades, but the cards were all the same. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Don't murder me. Backwash up the nary old, black and bloody mud. The dying wolf collects his due while a boy sings round the fire. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. No, 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 don't murder me. I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.